will trudge through the trenches with you is priceless and difficult to come by.
It's one reason I trust him as a business partner.
That makes sense.
She smiled at me.
Are your parents still in the States, or did they move back to Australia when you were old enough?
A lump lodged in my throat as my chest tightened. I suspected the conversation about them would pop up tonight, but I was still hoping it wouldn't. Shifting in my seat, I offered her a regretful smile. They're no longer with me anymore. I lost them after we moved here. The color drained from Ella's face, and I reached out for her hand. Maybe I'll tell you more another time, but for tonight, I just want to enjoy our time together.
Of course, I would never want to intrude.
It's fine, really, but tell me about your job. You've seen me at mine. Why a paralegal for criminal defense attorneys? She took a drink of her Mai Tai, peeking at me over the rim.
The legal system intrigues me. I'm not sure if I'll go to law school or not, since it's so expensive. I decided to get some experience first and see if I like it. The attorneys I work for let me attend trials, so that's super helpful. I started working for them right out of college, and they've taught me everything I know. I have a lot of respect for both of them.
Her head tilted slightly to the side.
Call me crazy, but as I said before, I'm fascinated with the criminal mind.
The more she talked, the more she reeled me in, which was a dangerous game. Even with Dope's warning, I wanted to spend more time with her. Do you think the law is fair? I could see her mind working as she pondered my question.
No, I think it's broken. There are instances where guilty individuals go free while innocent ones are incarcerated. The most effective method to assist those wrongfully convicted is to challenge the verdict and advocate for their release. However, the process is slow, costly, and lengthy.
I leaned back in my seat, studying her. She was smarter than I'd realized, which was a huge plus. Not only was she beautiful, but she was intelligent. I bet all the girls hated her, and all the men wanted her. How do you feel about people who don't find justice in the courts and decide to take matters into their own hands? One dark eyebrow slightly rose with my question.
You mean a vigilante?
Yeah, let's say Robin Hood. I grinned. She stared at me, and a surge of intense energy coursed through my chest as she prepared to speak. I leaned into the table, mesmerized, as I didn't want to miss a single word that came from her mouth. My fingers gripped my water glass, waiting for her answer.
I think they do best if they don't get caught. You can't quote me saying that, though.
It's true. If they die or get thrown in prison, it's not much help to anyone.
The biggest reason I've not moved forward and continued the path to becoming an attorney is that sometimes the world needs someone who is morally gray. For instance, the television show Dexter. He was a crime lab tech, but tortured and killed serial killers, which made him a serial killer.
Such a good show. Do you think things like that happen in real life? Ella leaned across the table, then whispered,
I fucking hope so.
Damn it, I want to kiss her so fucking bad right now.
And where do you stand on that same issue?
She asked. I cleared my throat and opened my mouth to respond as our dinner arrived.
This looks delicious.
Ella unrolled her napkin and set it on her lap. Unable to take my attention from her, I replied,
it does.
Before she realized I was referring to her and not the food, I busied myself with my utensils. Ella paused and waited for me to select the tiny fork, and she did the same. I took the lead, pried a bite of the juicy white meat from the shell, and dipped it into butter before I popped it into my mouth.
Try it,
See if you like it. If not, we'll order you something else to eat. It would not hurt my feelings to eat your lobster.
Ella choked, her eyes watering. It took me a moment to realize what I'd said and how she'd taken it. I threw my head back and laughed as she attempted to compose herself. I meant the food. I pointed to her plate.
I know, but it was the way you said it.
She looked away at the other guests, but no one was interested in us.
Take a bite. Bossy much?
Oh, Ella, you have no idea. I smirked at her. I would have paid $1 million to read her thoughts right then.
I have a feeling you're full of surprises.
She dug her fork into the lobster, dipped it in butter, and put it into her mouth. Her eyelids fluttered closed, and a seductive moan slipped from her.
Holy hell, that's the best thing I've ever tasted.
She set the utensil down and wiped the corner of her lips with a blue linen napkin.
Sorry, Sebastian, you won't be getting my dinner.
She gave me a playful smile. She took another bite, chewing slowly and savoring the moment.
Next time, you should let me cook for you.
My fork paused in midair, and my gaze softened as her cheeks heated with embarrassment. I quirked a brow and forced myself not to smile. We're going out again. Her face briefly fell.
I hope so.
She pursed her lips.
I didn't mean to assume, though, so let's just forget I said anything.
A fleeting look of disappointment slipped over her expression before she plastered on a smile. Her attention drifted down to the tablecloth, her body language revealing her insecurities that she tried to mask with pleasant conversation. But I saw beyond her practiced smiles and small talk. All it took was someone who truly saw her to understand what lay beneath the surface. There was so much more to Ella MacLeod, and I couldn't wait to uncover each layer slowly. Ella, eyes here. I waited until her attention was fixed on me, taking heed of the subtle command in my tone, making sure she could see the sincerity in my gaze. We're definitely going to do this again, you and me.
Are you sure? I really wasn't assuming. I just stuck my foot in my mouth.
She glanced around before her attention landed on me again, almost as if she was concerned other people had overheard her.
To be honest, I don't go on many dates. Actually, this is the first one I've agreed to in a long time.
Her gentle laugh danced across the table. I'm positive. Her unexpected vulnerability touched me, and an overwhelming urge to shield her from the world rippled through my chest. Ella's shoulders sagged with relief as we agreed to see each other. I was aware that she was nervous about our evening, but I hadn't realized how much until now. I wanted her to feel relaxed and safe with me, to be herself for as long as the night lasted. We continued to learn more about each other during the remainder of our dinner. When the subject of my future came up, I shared my dreams of an early retirement and globe-trotting adventures. She leaned in, her eyes shining with genuine intrigue, and even chimed in with her travel plans. A high-pitched ping rang out from Ella's empty glass, followed by another just as she turned her head toward the dark, threatening sky. Holding out her hand, palm up, in front of her, I watched transfixed while Ella blinked rapidly as if trying to clear her vision. Her expression morphed into one of bewilderment, and she wiped a water droplet from her eyelash.
Sebastian, look. It's starting to rain.
The plump drops fell faster, landing on the blue tablecloth. Ella sprang up, her laugh carefree and wild, as rain pelted her pale skin. It fell in rivulets, transforming her already impossibly dark hair into midnight velvet.
We're lucky we finished eating, she exclaimed with a giggle, using the leather menu as an impromptu umbrella. The other guests scurried inside, leaving Ella and me behind, simply standing grinning at each other through the downpour. Our hair and clothes were already soaked through. She looked like a woodland sprite, glowing and mischievous, standing underneath the fairy lights. Her dress moulded to every dip and curve of her body, droplets sneaking their way down into the valley of her cleavage as the rain drenched us both. The hum of the classical music that flowed through the outdoor speakers blended with the rhythmic sound of the raindrops and Ella's husky laughter. In that moment, it felt like a memory that would stay with me forever. I stood and held my hand out to her. "Dance with me." Surprise flickered through her expression as she looked at me. Moments later, a smile graced her lips and she accepted my hand. Drawing her close, we began to sway in a gentle dance.
"You're crazy,"
she laughed, tilting her face to the rain. I reached out and touched her cheek, using my thumb to brush away the water from her soft skin. She playfully licked her bottom lip, catching a few droplets on her wet, full mouth.
"I like it,"
she said, as she snuggled against me as we danced. My palm gently trailed up her bare back, and she shivered against me. "I won't keep you out here long. I don't want you to get sick. If you do, I'll take care of you, though." Her eyes softened.
"I might let you."
To my surprise, she stopped dancing and lifted her chin.
"I've wanted to do this all evening."
She tilted her mouth up, brushed her lips against mine, lingering for just a moment before she broke our embrace. Every fiber in my body responded to her, but more than that, I loved that she'd made the first move. I took her hand in mine. "Let's get inside. I'll pay the bill and we can dry off."
"That's probably a good idea,"
she shrieked as a sudden wind blew the rain sideways, pelting against our skin. She scooped up her clutch off the table and laughed. I loved seeing her happy. "Careful, Romeo." Anxiety wrapped its fingers around my chest, reminding me that Ella and I were on borrowed time. She might never want to see me again if she ever uncovered the truth.
Chapter 10. Ella. I was freezing my ass off, but dancing with Sebastian in the rain was worth every tooth-chattering moment. He hugged me from the side and rubbed my arms to help me get warm as we walked to the entrance of the restaurant.
"I'm sorry," he said. "I shouldn't have kept you outside."
"Don't apologize. It was fun. I haven't danced in the rain since I was little." Memories flickered through my mind of my orange rubber boots Mom made me wear along with my green raincoat. Back then, I wanted to be unique and stand out in the sea of kids wearing the same boring yellow rain jackets. My wish to be different came true, just not in the way I had hoped. That memory was a painful reminder of what had worked so hard to hide. If I continued to date Sebastian, I would eventually have to reveal the truth to him. A shiver rocked my body, and I shelved the idea for now. I just wanted to enjoy his company. Sebastian approached a female staff member who was offering towels to everyone caught in the downpour. He grabbed several and returned to me with a silly grin. I reached out to take one, but he pulled away.
"I'll dry you off. After all, I was the one that got you all wet."
I hid my smile as he gently lifted my drenched hair and draped a towel over my shoulders. He took one arm at a time and, with great care, tenderly dried the water droplets from my skin. My belly flipped-flopped at his attentiveness, and I wondered what he would be like in bed. From how he had treated me so far, he would take his time and take care of me first. I tingled with anticipation. His gaze never left mine as he kneeled before me, drying the top of my feet and ankles. He slowly made his way up my calves, but stopped. I reached out to touch his hair, and my fingers sifted through the wet strands. Swallowing over the lump in my throat, I tried not to haul him off to the bathroom and let him fuck me senseless in a stall. If he continued touching me that way, I might combust right there. Apparently, foreplay was his nickname, and I wanted every second of being teased until I lost my mind. He rose and leaned near my ear. "I'm glad we'll have more time together, Ella. I'm looking forward to it." I sucked in a breath, searching his blue eyes for the promises that hadn't rolled off his tongue. "Let me take those for you," a young lady said, breaking us out of our trance. I handed my towels to her before she turned to walk away. "Excuse me, I need a few more for him." I pointed at my still drenched date. "Of course, I'll be right back. Thank you." Sebastian placed a finger beneath my chin and forced me to look at him. "Why, Ella McLeod, are you the type of woman that gets what she wants?" His accent was thicker than usual, and I wondered what he would do if I said yes. He brushed his lips against mine, forcing my response to lodge in my throat. "Sir, here you are," the lady said and handed him some towels. He nodded at her. "Ella, I'll be right back." My attention was trained on him as he went to the men's restroom. Minutes later, he returned with the crumpled towel in one hand and his suit jacket in the other. His white shirt was glued to his skin, and I couldn't pull my gaze away from his muscled chest and abs. "I have clothes, including a few spare shirts in the car. I'll change when we're there." "You do?" Puzzled with why he had a change of clothes, I followed him out of the restaurant. We stood beneath the awning as the valet located his car. "I always have a change of clothes in case I need to head straight to the bar from the gym." "That makes sense. I'm getting the impression that you practically live there." "It's definitely my second home." Once we were settled in the car, Sebastian blasted the heat. He pulled around to the other side of the parking lot and stopped on the side of the restaurant. "I'm going to park here for a minute to change my shirt. My bag is behind your seat." He reached over and grabbed it. "Is it okay if I change in front of you?" "You're soaking wet still. You don't need to ask my permission." He removed a white folded shirt from the bag, then tossed it on the back seat. "Making you uncomfortable on our first date isn't on the agenda." He winked at me, and I was pretty sure I melted into a puddle. "I've seen plenty of men without a shirt on. For instance, at the lake." "You have a point. But those guys aren't on a first date with you." He removed his shirt and tossed it over his shoulder. I sank my teeth into my bottom lip as his well-defined, broad shoulders narrowed down to a slender waist, the contours of his stomach muscles looking incredibly yummy. I wanted to lick my way straight down to the sculpted abs that led into his jeans, the thin strip of hair guiding the way. His arms flexed as they moved, pulling on the clean shirt. I shifted, thoroughly enjoying the front row seat. My thighs clenched as I pretended not to ogle him. But dear God, I was. I definitely had a date with my vibrator once I got home. "Sebastian," I said, my body consumed by a hunger overtaking any logical thoughts. He turned to me, and I leaned over the console and pressed my lips to his, my hands roaming over his chest, feeling the heat radiating through his clothes. He responded eagerly, his hand tangling in my hair as our tongues intertwined in a passionate dance. A guttural moan escaped his lips as he attempted to get closer. "Damn, console," he grumbled. "I can solve that problem." I gave him a wicked little grin as I hiked up my dress to my thighs, then crawled over to his seat and straddled him. His pupils darkened with need as his cock pushed against my core. Sebastian's hands gripped my waist possessively, pulling me closer as I moaned softly, the heat between us becoming more and more intense. I reached down, my fingers brushing against his rigid length through his slacks, and he shuddered at my touch. "I want you," I whispered, leaning down to press my lips to his ear, my breath hot and heavy. "I need you." He groaned, his eyelids fluttering shut as he thrust up into my hand, his hips bucking against me.
"Ella,"
he moaned as our bodies melded together. The hunger inside me intensified, and the wetness of my desire seeped through my thong. I leaned forward, my nipples brushing against his chest through the material of the dress. With a growl, he lifted me just enough for his hand to slide around my thigh and cup my ass. He thrust upward, our bodies grinding against each other as his tongue swept over mine. Sebastian slid his fingers between my legs and massaged my clit through the thin fabric of my thong.
"You're so wet," he said, his voice low and husky. "Oh, God, that feels so good."
I moved against his hand, desperate to have more. As if reading my mind, he slid my thong out of the way, exposing my sensitive skin to his touch. He slowly eased a finger inside me, matching the rhythm of my hips. The sensation was overwhelming, pushing me to the brink of ecstasy. My breath hitched as his piercing gaze locked with mine. I couldn't hold back my moans as he added another finger, stretching and building the tension within me. His lips trailed down my neck, leaving a trail of fiery kisses that left me gasping for air.
"Be a good girl for me, Ella,"
he whispered huskily.
"Come for me and mock me with your scent for the rest of the night."
A shiver ran through my body at his command. I grabbed his biceps and dug my fingernails into the corded muscles.
"Sebastian!"
I leaned forward, and my lips grazed his ear as I exploded, trying not to scream his name.
"That's Miguel."
He removed his fingers from my drenched pussy and slowly licked them clean. I straightened with a silly smile as I reached for the button on his slacks. My cell rang, pulling me out of my hormone-induced fog, and I gathered my clutch from the console. I located my cell and glanced at the screen and frowned. It was Cammy. She knew I was out with Sebastian, which meant it was important. "I'm sorry, I have to take this." I awkwardly climbed back into my seat, my attention still on Sebastian as he fixed his hard cock behind his slacks before he made sure I was buckled in.
"Do you think?"
Sebastian shifted into drive and drove out of the parking lot. "Hey, is everything okay?" I asked Cammy.
"Babe, you didn't see your missed calls yet?"
Cammy sniffled, and her nose sounded stuffy. Shit. She had been crying.
"What missed calls?" "Your parents and me, Ella. Your dad is in the ICU. Get there as fast as you can."
My stomach dropped to my toes, my vision tunneling, everything so far away. I could hear Cammy's quiet sobs, tinny and distant in my ear, and Sebastian's worried questions, muffled and muted, but it seemed as if it was happening to someone else. My breath caught in my throat and cold, hard panic rose as the tingling started in my fingertips.
"No, this can't be happening. Cammy, is he?
I couldn't force the words out of my mouth.
"I don't know, just ask Sebastian to bring you to St. Vincent." "Okay, I'm on my way."
My heart galloped against my chest, threatening to break free.
"Ella, what's wrong?"
"My dad."
Tears welled in my eyes, and I blinked them away, embarrassed at my show of emotion in front of Sebastian.
"He's in intensive care at St. Vincent Hospital. Can you please take me there?"
"Of course."
Sebastian signaled to change lanes and merge on the highway.
"I should tell you something," I focused on the wipers as they cleared the relentless drops from the windshield. If only it were that easy and could whisk away the pain. Once he merged into traffic onto Highway 26, he took my hand. I'm listening, Ella, but take your time. He's sick. He has a rare cancer, and I'm covering his medical bills for a new trial. It's his only hope, and my shoulders shook as I broke down. I'm so sorry. I didn't want our day to end like this. I wasn't going to tell you about him unless we continued to see each other. It's a lot to deal with. I'm a lot to deal with when we think we're losing him. I grabbed a tissue from my clutch and dabbed my cheeks, hoping like hell I didn't look like more of a hot fucking mess. Don't apologize, Ella. That's too much to carry alone for anyone. Cammy knows, but she's family. I don't talk to anyone else about it. Hold on for a minute. We're about 45 minutes away. Let me see if I can speed things up. He pressed a button on the steering wheel, and a phone ringing filled the car speakers. Sup, Bass? Hey, Zane, I need a favor. Are you still working in Portland this weekend? Yeah, Giselle and I are here for a few weeks. What can I do for you? I need a police escort to St. Vincent's. Can you get me one? Are you okay? Zane's voice was heavy with concern for Sebastian. I'm good, He paused and glanced at me. A special friend of mine. Let me see what I can do. What car are you driving tonight? Sebastian rattled off the make and model of the vehicle, along with the license plate. Got it. Hold the line. Sebastian reached over and squeezed my hand as he focused on the road and waited. Zane has his own security company on the East Coast, but he works on this side of the world sometimes too. I met him and his wife at the bar one evening. We've been friends for the last few years. Damn, good guy. Zane returned. Officer Bexley is a half mile away. Get into the right lane. Once he sees you, he'll turn his lights on. Get behind him and he'll escort you in. How are you, man? Thanks. Bexley. Where did I know that name? Son of a bitch. It was one of the officers who'd been at my home last night when I'd reported an intruder. Damn it. I hope he doesn't say anything in front of Sebastian. If Sebastian found out that I had a possible stalker, he'd run in the opposite direction. No one wanted a suitcase full of drama. Chapter 11. Ella. My knee bounced as Sebastian drove like a bat out of hell. Thank you for calling in a favor. I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner about my dad. It's just not first date material. It's all right, Ella. We're still getting to know each other, but I'm here if you need anything. I just don't want to bother you with my drama. His forehead pinched. Don't think like that. With the police's help, Sebastian pulled into the emergency parking lot in record time. I wasn't sure that he would truly understand how grateful I was to reach the hospital so quickly. Sebastian eased up to the curb behind the cop car, and I held my breath as Officer Bexley approached at the driver's side window. Please don't recognize me.
Hi, Sebastian. I hope everything is...
His words trailed off as he stared at me. I shook my head slightly, hoping he would understand not to say anything about my possible stalker. Until I had more information, I couldn't risk Sebastian thinking I was a total shitshow. Or worse, put him in danger. Officer Bexley cleared his throat as I climbed out of the car before I poked my head back in. Thank you, both. As soon as I know how Dad is, I'll message you, Sebastian.
Do you want me to come in with you?
Sebastian's tone was soft and concerned. No, they only allow families into the intensive care unit. Plus, I'm not sure how long we'll be waiting to hear something. I'll talk to you later. I closed the car door and hurried to the entrance. I slowed, then walked back to the car. Sebastian rolled his window down and I leaned in and kissed him on the cheek. Thank you for everything. I'm here if you need anything, he said before I gave him a small wave and left. A few minutes later, I joined Cammy. The intensive care waiting room was abuzz with tension. Fluorescent lights overhead gave a sterile glow, revealing off-white walls with informational posters about health and safety precautions. The seats were arranged in short rows, and Cammy was pacing between them, nibbling on her thumbnail.
Hey, how bad is it? Thank God you're here.
Cammy hugged me, sniffling.
They wouldn't tell me much because I'm not family, but since I work here, I was able to talk them into letting me wait until you or your mom arrived.
Realizing my mom wasn't around, I asked, Where is mom? They've talked to her, right? She must have seen the fear on my face because she started explaining.
Your mom's safe and sound. Ella, take a breath. Since her job practically forced her to Seattle, she couldn't get a flight home fast enough.
She placed her hands on her hips, pausing.
I stopped by the house to check on him, and when I arrived, he took a sudden turn and was having trouble breathing. His heart rate had dropped really low, so I called 911 while his nurse tried to help him. Once the ambulance arrived, I followed in my car and called your mom while I was driving.
Fuck. I pressed the heel of my hand against my forehead.
I'll see what I can find out. Thank you for being there and calling mom.
I hugged Cammy again before I hurried to the nurse's station with her behind me. I clenched my hands together, trying to ward off the rising panic. Every second felt like an eternity, and the suffocating fear that I couldn't do anything to ease my father's pain threatened to consume me.
Hi, I'm Alexander McLeod's daughter. He was brought in by ambulance. I was wondering what condition he's in.
I took out Dad's additional insurance card I carried with me, no matter what purse I used. With Mom occasionally traveling for work, it was the best way to ensure the hospital received the information. At first, I was furious that Mom still traveled, but my parents risked losing their house if she didn't. Bills didn't stop just because someone was skating along the edge of death. It had taken both of us pitching in to hire a full-time nurse for him, but it allowed us a little peace of mind. Sometimes, anyway.
He's in the ICU waiting for tests, hon. Do you want to see him? He's in 515.
Thank you very much. I turned to my best friend. I'll text you when I get more information, but at least I can talk to him if he's awake.
I'll wait for your mom.
She gave me a reassuring smile before I disappeared down the hall. I reached his room and slowed, staring at the door number. Taking a few deep, calming breaths, I wiped beneath my eyes and attempted to rid any evidence that I'd been crying. I wanted to be strong for Dad. Finally, I poked my head through the cracked door.
Dad? I'm here.
Ella?
Dad asked from the hospital bed as he pried his tired green eyes open.
Come on in.
His voice sounded strained. I closed the door behind me and hurried to his bedside.
When will the doctor come in?
I pulled up a chair, the legs scraping across the white tile floor. Taking his hand in mine, I sat next to him.
He just ordered the tests. He's concerned the trial is weakening my heart.
I clenched and unclenched my hand.
No, damn it, no. We can try something else. There has to be another trial we can get you into, something better. If this one isn't working, we'll find one that will. We can't just...
I love you, baby girl, but we might have to stop fighting.
I pressed a kiss to the paper-thin skin of his knuckles. My jaw clenched with determination and our gazes locked.
I will never stop fighting for you, never. So do not ask me to.
An exhausted smile slipped into place.
Sometimes the heavens make that choice for us, honey.
I shook my head. No. I refuse to accept that until the test results are back. I patted his skinny arm. Over the last 14 months, Dad had lost so much weight that it was hard to picture him as the man who used to work out every morning. He was healthy for 62. Then, almost overnight, he was sick, dying. While Mom had taken a medical leave at work to care for him,
We'd tried an aggressive chemo without any positive results. It had left his pale skin paper thin from the extensive sessions. Afterward, I'd scrambled to find a clinical trial for him. He'd finally been accepted into one. It was our last hope. A looming shadow of dread lurked over me as memories of his decline grabbed me by the throat, sending my pulse racing with anxiety. The mere thought of being without him was like standing at the edge of an abyss, the ground beneath my feet threatening to crumble beneath me. He had always been my rock.
"Stop," he said.
"Stop what?"
"Thinking about what it will be like when I'm gone. You're strong. You'll be okay. I've prepared you for this, honey. You're smart. You have a good job, great friends, and your mom."
He pulled in a long breath before he continued.
"Do you have someone special in your life yet?"
I rolled my eyes. What kind of question is that at a time like this?
"Appease your old man and answer me."
I shifted on the hard plastic chair, my ass protesting loudly. "Maybe. It's too early to tell." For a moment, my body relaxed and a smile pooled at the corner of my lips. But tonight was amazing.
"From the look on your face, you really like this boy. Tell me more."
Dad always had a way of guiding conversation when there was a tense situation. He said it didn't make sense to waste time wondering about something out of your control. It helped pass the time with a more uplifting topic. I always appreciated his wisdom, especially now. "His name is Sebastian. He's a few years older, but has an established career. So far, he's attentive, kind, funny, and very handsome." I couldn't help but smile at the thought of the man quickly gaining my interest, whether we were together or not. I decided it was probably best that I leave out telling my dad that I wanted to lick and fondle every square inch of the man. My dad didn't need to know about Sebastian's defined abs and sculpted arms, how the rain had molded his pants to what looked to be a very impressive cock.
"What does he do for a living?"
I squirmed on the seat, wondering how Dad would take the fact that he owned a restaurant and club. Dad was a bit old-fashioned and was a firm believer in working for a corporation until you retired. Times had changed, though, and companies laid off the highest-paid people first. Security was a thing of the past. But even if he weren't crazy about the idea of Sebastian being self-employed, the thought that Sebastian had money and could take care of his daughter would soothe his concerns. Not that I needed anyone to take care of me, but my security was important to him. "He owns a restaurant and club. He's wealthy, but you'd never know it because he bartends. He said it keeps things interesting."
"He sounds like a good guy. If you think there's something between the two of you, I would like to meet him."
Dad squeezed my hand, his eyelids fluttering closed. I froze, waiting for the soft rise and fall of his chest that would indicate he hadn't died. A lump formed in my throat, and I struggled to swallow over the fear. Frantically, I searched the room to see what machines he was hooked up to. I heaved a sigh of relief when I saw the monitor tracking his heartbeat. It was the soft beep I was hearing. Dad's eyes flew open, and he chuckled.
"Sorry, honey, I guess I dozed off."
The door opened, and a nurse joined us.
"We're ready to take him for his tests. You can stay here or in the waiting room."
She offered a gentle smile to us. I rose, then leaned over and kissed Dad on the forehead. "Hurry back. Mom should be here any time. Thank you for taking care of him," I said before I left the room.
"It will be about an hour or more. Try to get some food or coffee, hun."
The nurse gave me a kind smile. I nodded, then stepped into the hall, my heels echoing off the walls as I headed back to the waiting room.
"How is he?"
Mom asked, rushing over to us. Her eyes, usually so full of life, were rimmed with red and shadowed with fatigue. They darted around restlessly, scanning Cammy and me for any signs of hope, or perhaps bracing for the bad news. "Sleeping,"
I threw my arms around her, hugging her tightly. He went in for tests a few hours ago, and he's been sleeping since then. I've checked on him several times, but wanted to be here when you arrived. Thanks for texting and letting me know when you landed.
Of course. She turned and hugged Cammy. Thank you for being here.
Always. I love you guys.
Mom's hand trembled as she smoothed her hair. She'd been dyeing it her original color since she was 40, and the beginning of gray wisps peeked through the jet black strands. I got my green eyes from Dad and my hair from Mom.
I was lucky. My parents were both loving, compassionate, and intelligent people.
Let me take you to his room, Mom. He'll be happy to see you when he wakes up.
That would be good. I want to be in the room waiting for the doctor when the results come back.
Mom hugged Cammy again.
I'll see you in a while.
Slipping my arm around Mom, I steered us toward Dad's room. When we arrived, the door was wide open and the doctor stood beside his bed. He glanced up as we joined them.
Hi, baby.
Mom kissed Dad's cheek and his face lit up.
You must be Mrs. McLeod. I'm Dr. Coppinger. I was just about to give your husband his test results.
We're just in time then, I said from behind Mom. Dr. Coppinger folded his hands in front of him, expression full of compassion. Shit. This wasn't good. I gripped the back of the chair and attempted to steady myself for the blow.
I understand that you're in a trial treatment for your cancer, Mr. McLeod.
Yes. Please call me Alexander.
Got it, Alexander.
A kind smile eased across his face.
In these situations, there are always greater downsides than a tried and true treatment. I'm afraid that the trial will have to come to an end. If we continue, you risk heart damage. I know this is incredibly difficult to hear, and I'm so sorry.
I shook my head, refusing the doctor's words. My jaw clenched as I struggled to formulate my thoughts.
If he's not on it, his cancer will kill him.
I understand, but there is nothing else we can do. If you have a nurse, then I can send your father home and keep him comfortable for as long as needed.
You mean until he dies?
My pitch rose with my question while Mom's muffled cries filled the room.
Spend time with him and try to make some lasting memories. It will help the difficult process. I can also offer a counselor to help process the grief.
My hands clenched and unclenched, anger roaring to life inside the pit of my belly. We had worked so hard to get him in the trial. I'd talked to a multitude of doctors to get Dad the best care. How could our last hope be gone in a fleeting second? Shouldn't the decision be his choice? Have you even looked at other options? Or are you just giving up on my dad? I gritted my teeth, tears spilling down my cheeks as the grief twisted me into knots.
Honey, we can look into this some more. Find another way,
Mom said, consoling the both of us.
I reviewed his charts after the test results came back. There aren't any additional trials he would qualify for. I understand your pain, but I've truly done everything I can. So have the other medical professionals who have worked with him. I'll be around tomorrow if you have questions.
He nodded and left the room, leaving me with the earth-shattering truth that my dad was unlimited time. My cell chimed in my clutch and I retrieved it. Sebastian.
Is your father okay? Are you?
I squeezed my eyes closed against the pain. I wanted to see him. Despite my life being a complete disaster, I needed something new and good for just a few moments. Even though I didn't owe him anything, I should give Sebastian the news about Dad and the opportunity to bow out before things become more complicated. Me. Can you meet me at the house tomorrow? I'm having an alarm system put in, so I'll be home all day. We can talk then. Sebastian.
What time?
Me. Would 11 work? Sebastian.
See you then, but message me if you need anything before then.
Me. I will, and thank you.
My address is 1072 Daisy Drive. See you soon.
Chapter 12. Sebastian. Focus, dude. Dope's expression twisted with worry. This shit should be the most important thing in your mind. I paced the small room overflowing with Dope's cameras, video equipment, and devices I didn't even know the names of. Other than his gaming chair, the only other piece of furniture was an ugly plaid love seat pushed up against the wall. Every time I stepped foot into a secret dungeon, his intelligence and knowledge of all things tech overwhelmed me. Dope had taught me enough to make me dangerous, but nowhere near his skill level. Before we get down to business, there's something else we need to chat about. Dope laced his fingers behind his head. What's that? Kip, man. He's missing work and acting weird as fuck. I stood still, staring at Dope and chewing on what he was saying. I'd worked with Kip weekly, but his sudden disappearances for a few days at a time with zero communication with us was messed up. Do you think he's using drugs again? No, I think his eyes would be bloodshot. He'd be forgetting things. He'd be all twitchy and shit if he was using. I was there 5 years ago when he got clean and off heroin. I would recognize the signs. This is something else. Maybe you can talk to him and find out what's up. Yeah, I'll do that. I guess I'll get so busy I didn't realize how many times it had happened. I placed my hands on my hips. Something is definitely off. I rubbed my forehead, trying to relieve the tension. Why don't you talk to Kip and let me know what he says? Hopefully the problem will be resolved soon. Dope slapped his hands together, the noise indicating we were done discussing Kip. Moving on to other important business, I need you present and concentrating on what we're doing. As you're always telling Kip and me, we can't afford to fuck up. And I'm happy that you're into someone, but Ella is all up in your head, man. I groaned, refusing to agree with him. I'm worried about her. She's got a lot on her plate. If it were good news about her dad, she would have texted me already. And if he's dying, she might want to try to push me away and not see me again. I hope not, but it would be a normal reaction. Dope rolled his office chair backward, glaring at me, his red hair flopping onto his forehead. You gotta shake it off, man. You know how fucking dangerous it is to get involved with someone. No. Hell no. Not you, Kip, or me. We made a commitment. If we get caught... Dope folded his arms across his chest, sucking air through his teeth. Don't do it. Break shit off with her, now. Like the next time you see her. We can't afford for you to fall head over heels for her or anyone for that matter. And do you really even know who she is? Have you checked her out? No. You haven't because you would have asked me to dive into her business. He raised a finger, holding me from telling him to fuck off. No worries. You know I'm already on it. Dope rolled up to his computer, and his fingers flew across the keys. Feeling protective of her, I objected. Piss off. You're not going to dig into her background. He ignored me, and I grabbed the back of the chair and jerked, causing Dope's arm to flail like a windsock in a hurricane. Dope paused and stared a hole through me. I'll make you a deal. Let me deep dive, and if she's as amazing as you hope she is, then I'll give you my blessing to date her. I groaned as I placed my hands on my hips. That's not cool, mate. I know, but hear me out. If you like her, then let's start vetting her. I mean, eventually she's going to find out what you're up to. You talk in your sleep, and one confession will fuck us all, and not in a good way. He arched a light red brow at me, waiting. God damn it. I scrubbed my face with my hands, weighing out the pros and cons as quickly as possible. They wouldn't wait for me to think about it for a few days. I don't even know where Ella and I are headed. All I know is that I enjoy being around her. She's special. But he was right. I couldn't jeopardize her learning shit she had no business knowing. Not yet, anyway. I blew out a heavy sigh. I can't believe I'm saying this, but go ahead. It would be better to end things now with her if we found out anything concerning. She's a paralegal, though, and her bosses would run a background check, so I'm sure she's clean. Dope grinned and cracked his knuckles. Those fuckers have no idea what they're doing. Quit running your fucking pie hole and work your magic. I swiped the black pen from Dope's desk and clicked the end several times as he began his search. Name? Ella McLeod. Middle name? He asked. No idea. Address? I rattled off the information and the name of her place of employment. I shifted from one foot to the other, watching the computer screen fill with information. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Damn, bro. You know how to pick 'em. Dope turned to look at me. Yeah, she's something else, all right. Fucking spit it out before I lose my temper, I growled. Dope tossed his hands up in surrender. There's nothing you gotta stop seeing her over, but you might want to after learning. Before he could say another word, I grabbed his arm and pulled him out of his chair. I sat down and began to read. Ella hadn't lied about her employment, college, best friend, dad's cancer trial, or where she lived, all of that checked out. I breathed a sigh of relief, but then realized I was relieved too fucking soon. What the hell? I leaned closer to the screen, not wanting to believe what I was reading. I glanced at Dope over my shoulder. This information is on the dark web. That's how you found it, right? Yep, it's the best way to find out shit about people. I just wasn't prepared for that. He pointed at a video. The screen flickered to life, revealing a still image with a triangle in the middle, taunting us to press play. And there was sweet, innocent, blushing Ella, with her legs spread wide, pussy on display, fingers dancing over her clit as water cascaded over her naked form. My jaw clenched, and my hands balled into fists at my sides as a surge of conflicting emotions washed over me in waves. Anger and arousal battled for dominance inside me, fueling a fiery inferno that threatened to consume every inch of my being. Out! You're not watching this with me! Dope's expression fell. Damn it! I should have demanded to watch his payment. Besides, you know I have access to her now. A surge of primal rage and fierce protectiveness coursed through my veins and ignited every nerve in my body. I launched myself from the chair in a blur of motion and sent it flying across the room. Before Dope could register what happened, I grabbed his shirt, slammed him against the wall, and snarled in his face. His features contorted with terror as he realized the mistake he made. If you ever look at any of her adult videos, I will dismantle you myself. Got it?
Yeah, man. Of course, I was just giving you shit. I swear on my grandma's grave I won't ever check her out like that.
The color in Dope's cheeks drained.
Bass, you know I'll always have your back. And I did all of this to prove a point. She's not good for you. For whatever reason, she's got you all hot under the collar. We've known each other since grade school. You trust me, but you just backed me into a wall over a chick you barely know what gives.
Flashes of painful memories ricocheted through my mind. You know how I feel about disrespecting women, Dope.
It's why we do what we do. I get it, man, but you gotta stop letting your past control you. That's all.
The corner of his eye twitched, his telltale sign disclosing the level of stress he was under. My heart banged against my ribs, and I realized Dope was right. Regret washed over me as I let him go and stepped away. Maybe I wasn't capable of handling a relationship with Ella. But that fact wouldn't stop me from taking her out again, and I knew it.
Please leave, so I can see what's going on.
I retrieved the chair as the door clicked behind Dope and sat down. Grabbing a mouse, I directed the arrow to one of several adult videos. The music played in the background as she showered, the suds running over her large tits. My cock sprang to life as I watched her. Good God, she was beautiful. I stopped that video and clicked on another and another. Video after video was of her naked and getting herself off for the camera. Jealousy stirred inside me, and I clicked out of the website. My damn dick hurt so bad I considered using Dope's bathroom to rub one out. But the more I thought about the thousands of other men looking at her, my cock deflated. I couldn't reconcile that this was the same woman who blushed and smiled shyly at me over dinner. I forced myself to read the rest of the information Dope had pulled up. Damn, it makes sense now, I mumbled. Ella was paying her father's medical bills, and they were astronomical. She could buy another house with the money she was spending. Sinking back into the chair, I matched the dates between her father's diagnosis and her cam job. They lined up. My stomach twisted into knots. She was selling her body the safest way possible to save her dad. Fuck, that took guts. And instead of turning me away from her, it pulled me toward her. Even though I didn't like the idea of other men getting off watching her, I had mad respect for her determination. Before I got carried away with my rationalizations, I wanted to see if I was correct, but getting an answer would take time. I pulled up an additional tab and typed the hospital name where her father was being treated. Once I found what I was looking for, I removed my wallet from my back pocket and paid every penny of his medical bills. She would probably hate me if she ever found out, but it was a chance I was willing to take. All I wanted was to help and give her a choice whether to work the cam job or not. Dope, come on in. I stood as he joined me again. She's working a cam job for fuckers to watch her so she can pay her dad's medical bills. He has cancer that attacks the nervous system.
Yeah, primary central nervous system lymphoma, or CNS.
Dope took his chair back, eyeing me. He was probably wondering if I was about to fly off the damn handle again.
No offense, dude, but your temper is getting worse since you first saw her. Keep it focused in the right direction, man, and that ain't me.
He leaned over, grabbed his weed off the desk, and rolled a fat one.
I highly recommend a smoke.
Dope extended it to me.
You know I'm not worth shit if I smoke, but thanks. Then we gotta schedule a time out for you. Knock the edge off your sharp corners. The last time we were supposed to lie low, you nearly
say it. I snarled, my hands fisting tightly. You nearly cast us. We can't get caught.
We'll fucking lose everything we worked our asses off for.
I didn't cost us shit, asshole. The son of a bitch saw you. Dope shook his head, perplexed. Not for long he didn't. I smirked.
Bass, come on, man. You beat the shit out of him, and his life is hanging by a thread. That's not what we do.
A heavy beat of silence pulsed through the air.
Maybe you should consider some underground fights again if you need to work off that adrenaline.
It wasn't a bad idea. I fed off the fights, the way my fists connected with the cartilage, the sound of the snap when bones broke. It was brutal and vicious, and it had consumed me for years until I found a new way to direct my pent-up energy. It was another reason I worked so much, to keep my fucking ass out of jail. The last time I stepped into the ring, the cops had been tipped off. I clenched my jaw, reliving the crowd running wild and people being trampled and killed in the process. My opponent and I were the last to find out the police had shown up, and we almost didn't make it out in time. I refused to ever be someone's prison bitch, so I'd hung up my fighting days 3 years ago. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't miss it. Over that time, I'd worked hard to smooth out my rough edges, at least around other people. But Dope and Kip still saw that part of me that loved to live on the edge of danger. I rubbed my forehead, exhausted from the long hours at the bar, as well as our extra excursions. Enough. This conversation is fucking over. I can't risk being covered in bruises, mate. It will cause too many questions. I didn't want to talk about my issues anymore. Dope returned to the computer, the sound of the keys clacking beneath his fingertips, the only sound in the room. He slid me a sideways glance, probably gauging my temper before he said anything else. Okay, Bass, listen. Let's just rip the band-aid off. The worst is the cam job. I didn't find anything else. My guess is that no dudes are rocking her boat, since she's only on the screen for viewing, not tangled up with guys for the camera. That's a plus. My fists clenched and unclenched as my anger punched me in the chest. You want to help me with my temper? I suggest you shut the fuck up. I was done. I'd already been on fucking edge about seeing Ella tomorrow. And after what I just learned about her, my nerves were as taut as a high wire in the wind on the verge of breaking. Fair enough. Didn't mean to get your panties in a twist. He grinned at me, and I had to laugh. The motherfucker never let up. Dope knew me better than anyone else, and I trusted him with my life. But some days he annoyed the shit out of me. But if I were going to date Ella, I had to make sure I could trust Dope with her life, too. You good now? We gotta figure some shit out, but you have to be right in the head. He tapped the side of his skull with his first two fingers. As you tell us,